If you're looking for exceptional auto service, head on down to Sullivan Tire. Family-owned and operated, they've been serving New England for over 60 years. Their highly trained staff will give you a hand with any of your auto needs. Sullivan Tire offers brand-name tires and parts at a price that can't be beat. They're always here to get you there. Sullivan Tire. Welcome to the My Hockey Life podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. I'm joined on the phone by Jake Levin, Jake of the Boston Globe, My Hockey Live, our team broadcasts, and NBC10 Boston. You find Jake on Twitter at JakeLevin09. Jake, welcome back.
Brandon, what's happening? You know, I'm working all three avenues today. So, well, good plug there.
Busiest man in sports again. Jake Levin will be joined later on in the show by Brendan Connolly, also a busy guy, high school and pro sports.
Yes.
WATD, Boston Herald.
He might be busier than me. He just might be.
You know, I talked to him a few weeks ago, and I said, I don't know how you guys do it. You guys hustle. Guys, like, I give you guys a lot of credit. You get a couple of things on, you get a couple of bylines, and you're hustling for it. So good on you guys.
Yeah, Brennan, he does an outstanding job too with both ATD and the Herald. He's been with both for probably 4 or 5 years now. Yeah, really, really impressive work ethic with him. And you know, there's many others like him, like us. But yeah, he definitely stands out as well.
Well, happy to have you guys, all of you guys, on the podcast. It sure makes for rich content for us. Before we kind of get into things, you and I talked briefly on the phone earlier about recently Merrimack defeated Michigan. College hockey, Michigan, a traditional Big Ten powerhouse in ice hockey and, of course, in football and basketball. But as far as hockey goes, they'd never lost to Merrimack in Merrimack's program history. Merrimack wins 4-2. Now, there were two former MIAA players on that Merrimack team.
Not only MIAA players, you know, this isn't like Jack Eichel, who was here for 1 year and then went off to do great things, of course. I'm not disparaging Jack Eichel, but we're talking four-year MIAA players here. One at BC High, one at Tewksbury. I'm talking, of course, about Patrick Kramer and Derek Petty, respectively. Kramer, we all know about the Kramers at BC High currently, certainly. Well, there's Patrick before, Thomas, Joseph, and Peter. And now we've got Derek Petty from Tewksbury High, really a non-traditional power, you know, a good program. When you think of a powerhouse, I guess, you're probably not thinking Tewksbury. And here you go, 2 4-year varsity players, Boston Herald, all Scholastic and Dream Teamers, played for their high school teams as seniors and now playing on the biggest stage in college hockey, in the Hockey East, and in this case at Michigan. But it just really impressive by both young men, and it just goes to show you, if you're good enough, they'll find you. You can stay at your high school for all 4 years. And, you know, was Jack Eichel a special case? Of course. And there's some others. Maybe Kevin Rooney, who played 3 years even at Canton High, and so on and so on. But just really impressive by Kramer and Petty, respectively.
Yeah, Petty and Kramer scored the first two goals for Merrimack in their win over Michigan. Big win for Merrimack as a program to defeat someone like Michigan, and really great poster for MIAA, athletic achievements, and the times that we've preached, stay at your high school, someone will find you, they will find you. You don't have to go off and go play juniors or any of that stuff. There's plenty of time to do that after high school. Here's a perfect example with Kramer and Petty, which is great.
Yep, exactly.
I do want to transition into just a little bit of D1 talk, because later on we'll talk with Brendan Connolly about CM and Xaverian and BC High. But I do want to talk about Austin Prep and their start. They're at 6-0-1 right now.
They really kind of slid underneath the radar, I think, at the beginning of the season with a lot of people. And that happens when you're not in the Catholic Conference itself. I know they're in the Catholic Central. And for whatever reason, sometimes these teams are labeled sort of the next tier down. And this happens with some of the great public programs, too. You know, maybe hang them aside. It's tough to really garner great preseason headlines, at least at the Division I Super 8 level. And Austin Prep, they had some losses in the offseason. Who doesn't at this point, too? You know, we talked about a few minutes ago to prep schools or juniors and defections like that. But they've got a great goaltender in Robbie Farrell, who is stopping everything thrown in his direction right now. And as we've seen, whether it's a Division One or Division Two, Division Three, doesn't really matter. Your championship team is more often than not going to be built from the net out. And Austin Prep, if they can get the top end scoring, which looks like they've got it, with a goalie as dangerous as Farrell, they're not only on a list of teams to watch as far as the Super 8 goes, we're looking at a team that, you know, could maybe win it in what feels like a very wide open season right now.
Yeah, and I love Farrell's attitude. And article with one of your coworkers, Dan McClune, in the Boston Globe.
My colleague Dan McClune did an awesome job on that. Bill Pappas now in his second year up at Austin Prep, taking over for the great Lou Finocchiaro. I think they're going to be back in the Super 8 this year. And it's also good, you know, we're going to get another – it's always a great Buddy Ferreira Classic down in Falmouth. It always is, no matter how good or bad some of the teams are. Adding Austin Prep into this upper echelon of teams down there with Hingham, with BC High, with, I think, a very good Duxbury team as well this year.
Yep.
And also, don't sleep on Archbishop Williams, another team from down south who's kind of been – I don't want to say down, but they actually went down to Falmouth each of the last 2 years needing points to get into the tournament, and they came up short both times. This year, you know, I'm not saying they're going to need points to get into the Super 8, but we're going to be talking more about seeding for Archies rather than needing the points. So I'm really excited about the Buddy Ferreira Classic. I know we still have a month to go, but Austin Prep just adds another good element to that fantastic 8-team tournament.
Yeah, and just to touch upon Robbie Farrell real quick at Austin Prep, I used to love when my goalies had an attitude, when they play tough,
of course.
You know, play with, you know, that cocky sort of sureness that, you know, they are the best one on the ice and everyone else better keep up. You know, reminiscent of Patrick Waugh and, you know, some of the things that he said, you go back and he had some real classic quotes. One of them to Jeremy Roenick. Roenick was chirping at Waugh, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, but
yes,
you know, Waugh's response was, I'm sorry I didn't hear him. I had my two Stanley Cup rings stuffed in my ears, which is, you know, one of the all-time great responses. Farrell says about his Austin Prep team, and this is in the article, quote, as a team, we are an absolute powerhouse. You can't, as a coach, you love that. You love when your goalie plays with that kind of attitude and then comes out, someone comes to do a feature on your team and that's the first thing you say. I love it. I absolutely love it. And he's backing it up right now, which is even more important.
Yep, the confidence is not an issue with Austin Prep, and it never really has been. But now, they're talking the talk, and thus far they're walking the walk. Big game tonight with Archies, who I just mentioned, in the Catholic Central Large. That could, you know, set the tone for who's going to win the CCL1 there. I really think it is a two-horse race between those schools at this juncture. And if Austin Prep can get the win tonight, I'm not sure if Archies quite has the horses to keep up with them in the league race.
So let's move to Division Two. You know, we've talked a lot about Canton. Right now, they're ranked number one in Division Two, sitting at 6-0. Second in Division Two was Lincoln Sudbury at 6-1, and third is Winthrop at 6-2. I know you've covered a little bit of Lincoln Sudbury. Kind of get your feedback on them.
I'm really not surprised they're off to this kind of start. Their only loss is to a Division One program in Winchester, who seems very content on crashing the Middlesex League hierarchy with Reading, Burlington, and Arlington. I think they have proven themselves to be in that conversation right now, but that's another story for another time with Winchester. That's LS's only loss. And, you know, I know it's a Division II school, but it's really, you can't look at that label for this team. This is just an athletic department, whether it's football, whether it's lacrosse, it really doesn't matter the sport. Baseball, I know they're outstanding as well. They're excellent across the board. And this hockey program, they were in the D2 state championship games recently, is 2016, with former Bruin great Hal Gill, of course. And now they really have not missed a beat, despite some lack of stability, I guess, in the coaching ranks. Matt Carlin, who's their coach now, he's their fourth coach in the last 6 years and their third in the last three. And they still have Andrew Raycroft on staff, by the way.
Really?
Talking former Bruins. Yep, he's still there. He left after Hal Gill left and came back this year to work with Matt Carlin. So I'm sure that kind of continuity helps a little bit. Just a really impressive program in a tough league, the DCL MVC 2. We talked about Tewksbury earlier. They're in that league. North Andover always seems to have a pretty good program. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised by what LS is doing. They got the goaltending, and they've got multiple lines that can score as well.
And then to move down to Division III, Hanover 7-0-1, no surprises there. Coach Johnny Abbott and his staff always put together a great team, and they have a great program and incredible depth. But the sort of the surprise from the outside anyway is North Quincy sitting at 8-2 and having the season that they're having, unfortunately for them, in the Fisher Division of the Patriot League, having to sit right behind Hanover. I think any other year you'd be talking about North Quincy about winning a league championship. That said, they've put together quite the season so far. They're on the precipice of qualifying for the state tournament, and here we are in the first week of January.
I know, it's incredible. North Quincy, I believe it's been an absence of maybe 2 years since they made the tournament. I'd have to confirm that, but Matt Gibbons, we know he's a great coach, been around the block, knows a few things, and no matter how big the size of that roster is, he seems to get the most out of his players there in the Patriot League, so they play a murderer's row of a schedule at that level, whether it's Hanover, they have to face Duxbury, Scituate, Plymouth South in any given year, certainly last year, Whitman Hansen on the up and up. There's no easy outs in that Patriot League, and North Quincy, for it to play the way it's been playing early on, they definitely have the feel of a team that won't just make the playoffs, but hopefully can go on a deeper run for a change.
Yeah, and they've got three of their next four games are actually home games outside of tonight. Tonight they are at Scituate, at Hobmock and Pembroke, and so they've got Scituate, and then they've got Duxbury at home, Hanover at home, and then Scituate at home with Nantucket in there as well.
You talk about a stretch. I mean, that's the cream of the Patriot League crop right there, Hanover, Duxbury, and Scituate. One for each division as well, Duxbury D1, Scituate D2, Hanover D3. We're going to learn a lot about North Quincy over these next four or five games.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, those five games happen in the course of 18 days. They go at Scituate, home against Nantucket, home against Duxbury, home against Hanover, home against Scituate. And I will tell you that that is a different team when they play at home. They go on the road. They're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good. They're good on the road, but they are outstanding when they play at Quincy Youth Arena. We struggled against North Quincy at that rink for whatever reason. It's a smaller sheet of ice. The behind the net, the boards are alive. The corners are kind of shallow. They play that rink really well. They always seem to have a goaltender that can handle the puck too, which in high school hockey is sort of unheard of. You know, North Quincy, Matt Gibbons is a great guy and a great coach. I'm really impressed by what they've done so far. And, you know, looking forward to good things to come from them, kind of as a surprise in D3 a little bit.
Exactly. It's always nice to see a team that, you know, is relatively speaking come out of nowhere. I don't want to say Plymouth South last year was quite out of nowhere. They'd been a tournament team. But to get to the Garden and win it, you know, not saying that's North Quincy. Just saying it's nice to see a surprise like that come out of the Patriot League. Beyond the usual suspects.
Right, and just want to touch on this, too, before we finish up here, the Mass State Hockey Coaches Association Players of the Week. We've got Jack Gady out of Marshfield in Division 1, Division 2, Carter Jerome from Stoughton, and Division 3, Mitchell Clappy from Cardinal Spelman.
Jack Gady, I've seen him a handful of times out at the MHL Cup. He kept Marshfield, and he earned them a tie against a very good Framingham team. Shameless plug, we will be featuring Framingham in our Boston Globe hockey notebook this week. That should come out on Friday. So Gady played well against them. He played well enough to win against Severian, just didn't get really the bounces he needed from his forwards, and played very well against Hingham as well back on December the 31st. Gave up two goals in a span of 38 seconds, and, you know, that's Hingham for you. All it takes is one bad minute, and you can find yourself on the wrong end of a score. But Gady, he's really the backbone of a Marshfield team that they're poised to go on yet another deep run, whether that's in the Super 8 or the Division 1 South, yet to be determined. But you look at what they returned just as a whole, and Gady, who only played in about half the games last year, he was in a timeshare with another very good goaltender in Nevin Costello. It's Gady's show now. He's the man. And Marshfield will go as he goes. That's a good thing if you're a Rams fan.
Yeah, and so coming up on My Hockey Live today, we've got three games. We've got a 3:30 ISL tilt Lawrence Academy girls against St. Mark's. Then we've got Roxbury Latin boys against St. Mark's boys. And then in the nightcap, we've got the Triton Vikings at the Newburyport Clippers. Later this week, we've got on Saturday, Braintree at Needham, Zavarian at St. John's Prep. So we got some real good hockey coming up on My Hockey Live this week. Jake, how many of those games you got?
Only one, actually. Okay. Today, I have got some other obligations today, but I'll be covering. I won't be broadcasting. I'll be at the Mansfield North Attleboro game this afternoon. Two teams that don't ever really seem to be a part of the statewide conversation. And Mansfield's off to a 7-2 start in the Hockomock League, so we're going to learn a little bit about them. I think Canton aside, it might be a little bit of a down year for the Hawk, and Mansfield is looking to cash in on sort of a power vacuum, if you will. And then I'll be at the Braintree Needham game on Saturday. But what I do want to say, especially about today's slate of games, these six teams, it's their first broadcasts ever on My Hockey Live, whether it's Triton or Newburyport tonight, and then the ISL games, boys or girls. All of these teams are making their MHL debuts. So I think that's cool that in year five, we're starting to see some more unfamiliar faces get involved. It's great for the future. It's great for the present as well.
Yeah, and if memory serves, $9 will get you all three games today, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, $9 will get you a day's pass, and you'll be able to watch all three games. And, you know, same goes for Saturday. You get two games Saturday, and then we go to our, I guess we could call it our, I don't know what you want to call it, six-time doubleheader on January 21st. We've got
yes,
the Marshfield.
Quintuple header plus a doubleheader. We got the Middlesex Catholic Challenge, five games up in Woburn, and then we've got the two games down in at the Bog, the Green Cup between Marshfield and Duxbury.
Yeah, seven games streaming on the 21st. All that coverage starts at 12. We go from 12 to well past 8 p.m. on My Hockey Live on January 21st. It's going to be a busy day for Pat Serio and all of the servers that are located throughout New England.
You got that right.
Yeah. So, Jake, thanks a lot. What do you got going on today? Anything to plug?
Let's see. We're going to see just how much of a disadvantage the Chargers are at coming back to the East Coast after playing in Baltimore last week and now flying back to New England. I do wonder what would have happened if this game was on Saturday. I know that's only one day, but when you're only dealing with 7 days to begin with, that's a lot of hours. I just have so many questions about what the Chargers, who are the better team than the Patriots, don't mince it. What are they doing in terms of just flying 9,000 miles right now?
Right.
They're really putting themselves at a disadvantage.
Yeah, it seems like 6,000 miles of unnecessary travel. They could have stayed out on the East Coast after they played in Baltimore this past weekend. I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen, and who knows? We might get some snow flurries down there in Gillette and the old winter wonderland that is Gillette during the January playoff season.
Well, they have a very cheap owner, Dean Spanos. He's one of the, I'd put him on a short list of maybe the worst 10 owners in pro sports. That's across all four leagues. You know, to state the obvious, he rips the Chargers out of the heart of San Diego and moves them up the street, crashing the party in L.A., really just like they're slumming on their buddy's couch, who's not even their buddy, in the Rams. The NFL, their landlords, if you will, didn't even want them there. But there's really nothing they can do because Spanos kind of burned every bridge he had in San Diego and was too cheap to pony up for a new stadium there. So now they're just going to be a sidekick in what should be a pretty cool stadium. But, you know, even on a good day, the most popular football teams in Los Angeles are USC, the Raiders, and I might throw UCLA in there if they have a good thing going. Chip Kelly figures it out, but you know, that's enough football. This is a hockey podcast, so I don't want to scare too many people away.
All right, and just to leave it at this, Tuukka Rask, right in the midst of his midseason hot streak that he always goes into, and all the trade Tuukka people can kindly step back away from the Cape Cod Canal Bridge. That would be great.
Oh, there's nothing worse than the trade Tuukka people. I mean, I get it. He's probably underachieved in the context of what he was supposed to be, an all-time talent. That said, do you know how hard it is to find good goaltending in the NHL? And Tuukka is a good goaltender. And after really mismanaging Malcolm Subban, there's nothing else in the system. So you know, you trade Tuukka, have fun with that, but you've seen what happens when you have Yaroslav Halak get overexposed. He's come back down to earth a little bit.
Hey, the guy that traded that got traded for Tuukka Rask is a high school hockey coach. That's all you got to know.
Oh, man, that's such a I love the Razor, too. That's a really great trivia question right there.
Yeah. All right, Jake, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. We'll be right back here on My Hockey Life podcast. The Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation is actively recruiting lifeguards to fill summer lifeguard jobs. If you are a qualified swimmer and are interested in applying for a summer lifeguard position, this is a great opportunity to do what you love and make $1,060 every 2 weeks. Visit masslifeguard.com to register today.
You are listening to the My Hockey Live podcast.
Welcome back to the My Hockey Live podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. I'm joined by Brendan Connolly, who is a pro and high school sports reporter for WATD 95.9, WMEX 1510 AM, and a sports writer for the Boston Herald. You can find Brendan also on Twitter at BCon63. Brendan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. It's good to join you guys.
Yeah, always excited to talk to you. I know you're a big South Shore guy. You were at the Hingham and Duxbury game last night, which is a 4-3 Hingham win. What'd you see there?
Well, I think what I was looking for in that game was to really see where Duxbury was in terms of a powerhouse for the state at this point. We all know Hingham's going to be in the running at the end. They are every single year. And until Tony Messina decides to retire, I think they will be up in those rankings for years to come. So what I did see early, though, was that Duxbury came out ready to play. Quick goal by Hingham, only 40 seconds in, and Duxbury's already down 1-0. But they responded with back-to-back goals, were able to fight their way back into the game, take the lead. Then Hingham just came back, scored back-to-back goals of their own. It was a pretty wild first period overall. Then we didn't really have much action until the third period where Duxbury was able to pick up a goal, but that would be where things would finalize at 4-3. Definitely high-paced, back-and-forth action, and was definitely impressed to see these two teams. And Duxbury, I think we found out where they are. They're definitely going to be a team at the top of the D1 rankings, I think, come the end of the season. But will they be in the Super 8? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, again, it's tough for them in the Super 8 with their league schedule being in the Patriot League back. I know we talked about this a little earlier, but when they were independent school and they were playing a similar schedule to Hingham, they're independent league team. They're going out and playing Hingham. They're going out and playing Marshfield in these independent games. And now they're still picking these up as non-league games. Just to go over the first period scoring, I was kind of following along a little bit. It was 1-0 Hingham. Then it was 1-1. Then it was 2-1. Then it was 2-2. Then it was 3-2. And that was all in the first period.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I couldn't really keep up with the tweets like I usually do, because usually you get one or two goals a period, and these were happening every, it seemed like 35 seconds to a minute or so. I could barely keep up. But yeah, it was definitely high paced action, a lot of offense that then really kind of settled down and turned into a game of defense, actually, until that late Duxbury goal made it a one goal contest with about 5 minutes, 50 seconds left or so. But Hingham was able to pull it out. Now they're at 7-2 against some of the best competition in the state to this point, and it doesn't get easier being an independent. They I think they play like Belmont coming up, and they have Reading as well. A lot of tough teams from north of the city that could definitely cause some problems for them, but they've seemed to manage to this point. We'll see how they go the rest of the year.
Yeah, looking, they've got Burlington on Saturday. That's going to be a tough game, and that's going to be at Pilgrim. And then they've got Reading next Monday. They're hitting some brass of their independent schedule. That's some pretty tough work they've got cut out for them.
Yeah, like I said, you see teams like Marshfield that, play a similar non-league schedule, but then enter their conference in the ACL, which really helps them. Teams like Hingham, they just play juggernaut after juggernaut the entire season. It probably helps them once they crack the Super 8 field, because they're just so seasoned and ready to go. But still, it's just such a treacherous road. It's definitely tough for any coach to, you know, take down this type of a schedule and just roll through it the way they have to this point.
Yeah, there's probably really nothing like what they go through outside of the Catholic Conference as far as opponents go. Although the Middlesex League with Burlington and the rest, what Stoneham has to go through playing all those D1s might be the only comparable, but certainly not at the same level. Moving on kind of across the South Shore, we've seen a resurgent Quincy Presidents this year.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's been one of the teams that has really caught my eye this year. I went and saw Quincy in one of the first games of the year or so down at Armstrong Arena when they played Plymouth North, and they just were skated so fast. They were scoring at will, it seemed, in an opponent's building, and that's when I really started to really jot them down as maybe a dark horse this year. And going along, they've proved that they are definitely one of the top teams in their field. Still, I wouldn't say they're going to be a Super 8 team by any means, but you know, playing against the Patriot League, which is no joke, by the way, they've really rolled through it. And I think the biggest reason we can look at is I looked at their roster. And I'm pretty sure it's combining both varsity and JV, so not 100% on whether all these players play. But Quincy has, I think, 13 seniors and 11 juniors on that team. So there's a lot, and I mean a lot of experience to pick from. And it's shown why they're just... It's shown in their game to this point. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they went in the middle of December. They went back to back down to Armstrong on a Monday and then a Wednesday the same week. And they put up 5 against Plymouth North and they put up 8 against Plymouth South on Plymouth South's banner night, no less. They close game against Duxbury, a 4-3 loss there. And then, of course, they defeated their arch rival North Quincy Red Raiders 3-2 in their Quincy Youth Christmas tournament. That's always a big one every year. Going forward, they've just kind of cleaned up. They've got Cohasset, Hanover, and Bridgewater Raynham in the next 2 weeks. So certainly things don't get any easier for them.
No, it doesn't. But if there's a team that has impressed me to this point, it's definitely them. Seems like they've seen everything over their years together as a team. And that's kind of why their chemistry is working out so well. You see guys on that roster who just stick out to you. Just to name a few, Dan O'Leary, the captain, has been really killing it out there for them, as has Ryan Quark, Brendan Bailey. All these guys have really led this unit, and it's shown in how they've performed in the standings to this point, just seemingly dominating most teams. Definitely a team to watch out for over the next couple weeks. I think if they survive this upcoming stretch, they could certainly be in the running to make some noise come March.
Yeah, and then I wanted to move over a little further down Route 3 to talk about the Marshfield Rams. Dan Conley's squad, strong as usual right now, 3-2-2. But they've played, you know, some of the brass as well. Defeated defending state champ Waltham, defeated Barnstable, a tie with Framingham at the MHL Cup, close 2-1 loss to Xaverian, and a 2-1 loss to Hingham.
Yeah, I mean, Marshfield, just like I mentioned earlier, they decide to load their front schedule against out-of-conference opponents with some of the best teams you can find. And they took their lumps here and there, just scraping out of it, the early part of it, 2-2-2, and now, as you just mentioned, 3-2-2. I think what's going to happen with this Marshfield team is we're going to see exactly what happens pretty much every year, and that's they're going to get hot now that they're entering their ACL schedule. It's always been a question in multiple sports as to a team like Marshfield just being so talented, getting put with the Cape teams in the ACL. But they always seem to make a run once they get to the stage. They fight their way back up the rankings, and then they end up being a bubble team for the Super 8 every single year, it seems like. And if they do happen to go on a good run, you could see them back there again.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting great play out of Jack Gady and net. He was the Mass State Hockey Coaches Association Player of the Week for Division I with a 1.55 goals against average and a .928 save percentage. He's seen all the pucks for them so far in their 7 games. And of course, up front, you got Paul Rourke, who's got 10 points in just those, you know, 7 games or so. So, you know, much the same as Marshfield rolls along, they've got depth and they've got good goaltending as usual.
Yeah, and like you just mentioned, Paul Rourke has emerged as kind of an electrifying scorer. I think during their game against Hingham, he scored their only goal, but it was a beauty. It was behind the red line. So I'm talking behind the goal. And he somehow was able to snipe it off a pad and into the back of the net, despite the angles. So this guy has the game. And yeah, he's emerged as the star this year for that Rams team. And looking ahead, seeing their upcoming schedule, doesn't, besides Duxbury at the Bog, and I believe that's going to be in the Green Cup.
Correct.
Monday the 1st at 2 o'clock. A lot of, I wouldn't call them layups, but a lot of easier competition compared to what they've seen so far. They play Nauset coming up on the 9th, which is tomorrow, followed by Falmouth, who Falmouth could be one of the teams that sticks out and challenges Marshfield in the ACL. We'll see how that turns out. And then they got DY, the Duxbury, of course, Sandwich, Nauset. And then you get St. John's of Shrewsbury and then Arlington, and you start getting back into some of those other out-of-conference teams that you don't usually see.
Right.
But pretty easy schedule compared to what they've seen so far.
And then we move same side of Route 3, same rink, the Scituate Sailors with new head coach Brian Hercombe, who takes over for Mike Breen, the longtime Scituate high school coach. I coached with Mike and against Mike for a long time. Mike left the program in great shape for Brian, and Brian has just picked up the baton and run with it. The Sailors are 6-3 right now, going through right through the brass of the Patriot League, including a non-league game against Norwell, a 3-1 victory there. They're just doing what Scituate does. They come in and they play hard, and they kind of beat you up a little bit.
Yeah, this Scituate team, I wasn't really expecting this. Once Mike Breen left, along with that huge senior class that just has carried them the last few years to the almost as high as you can go at the state finals where they lost to Lowell Catholic. There was a lot of turnover here at Scituate, and I didn't really expect this. But Brian Hercombe's done a great job to this point there. As you just mentioned, 6-3 with a pretty loaded team of talent so far. Angus Reed leading the scoring, I believe, with 11 total points, 5 goals, 6 assists. Christian Donahue, 5 goals himself. And then the captain, Ian Loftus, he's got 6 goals. So some of these Scituate players have just emerged from, you know, the depths where they weren't seeing the same amount of time last year. And it, like I said, Scituate, it seems like every year, despite the turnover, they still find a way to reload. I don't know how they do it every single year, but they're always making the playoff field. And what usually happens is they'll usually emerge as a dark horse and just roll through it, just like I'm expecting Quincy to do this year. We shall see, though. Scituate still got to play in that Patriot League. Teams like North Quincy, you got Hanover coming up in February, and then Quincy again. So it's not going to be an easy schedule, but we'll see how they go. I expect Scituate to be in the playoff field, probably a higher seed in their bracket, but like I said, remains to be seen.
Yeah, interesting to note too is that Frank Smith, who was longtime assistant coach for Dan Connolly at Marshfield, has moved over to Scituate with an opportunity to coach his son Tristan as a senior defenseman for the Sailors. All of the experience that Frank brings with him from Marshfield certainly helps Brian, I'm sure. Great to have that voice there. A friendly year as a new assistant coach to a new head coach. Do want to talk too about you witnessed the BC High Don Bosco game? Nice little interstate athletic competition between a powerhouse from the Mid-Atlantic states and our own Boston College High School Eagles.
Yeah, and I think this was one that was really a good litmus test for the start of the year for BC High. Don Bosco, as we know, is a national powerhouse. Player or two on their starting line is already committed to Quinnipiac, I believe. They had some very strong talent, and BC High, their front line, it seemed like they were getting worked against this Don Bosco Ironman team who looked like Ironman out on the ice. They were incredible. The skating was so quick. And we look at BC High, they're one of the best teams in the state on an annual basis, and they got outplayed in that game. Ended up losing 4-2. And it wasn't really what I was totally expecting, but at the same time, playing a national powerhouse, you got to give credit where credit is due, and they looked like one. I think BC High is definitely poised for success now. However, that was their only loss to this point. They're 4-1-1 at this time. Just like Hingham, they're going through the hardest teams you can face any point at any time. So I think BC High is going to do just fine. They'll probably be in the Super 8 as a lock. I wouldn't be surprised. Unless something drastic happens, I think BC High is definitely going to be at least a seed in the Super 8 this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. And they're, of course, led by the Kramer brothers, Thomas, Peter, and Joseph.
It's unbelievable what they've been able to do as well.
Yeah.
Four, every angle, you can't stop them.
Right, right. And you've got, you know, John Flaherty has put them together on a line now. So you've got Kramer, Kramer, and Kramer coming at you. And they're all so talented. You know, if you're the Bridgewater Raynham coach, you're like, God, how do we lose these guys? But you get it because they're so good.
Yeah, and they have that chemistry too. So you know exactly what each one's going to do at the same at any points. They can come at you from so many different angles because they know how to do it, and they know how to do it with each other on that line. So I think, like I said, watch out. BC High is probably going to roll through the rest of their schedule unless they get tripped up by, let's see who they've got coming up. Like I said, tough schedule. So they've got St. John's Prep coming up tomorrow, followed by Malden Catholic, some pretty decent competition. Then here's a possibility where they could fall is against Catholic Memorial at Warrior on the 16th next week. That's a team I think that could give BC High problems just with how good CM has looked to this point. And then they face Pope Francis coming up on the 31st as well. Another game I would keep my eye out on.
Yeah, and I believe we have that CM BC High game here on My Hockey Live. I'd have to double check on that, but I believe we are covering that game. And moving to CM, the Knights and Larry Rooney are 6-1 right now. Very strong season so far. 40 goals for, 9 goals against. Just really rolling, and it's like turn the clock back. You've got BC High and CM at the top of the standings.
Isn't that when hockey is its best around here?
Yeah, it really truly is.
Catholic Memorial, 6-1, as you just mentioned. Definitely really impressive to this point. I was able to catch them at the Hockey Fights Cancer Night down at the Canton Ice House just the other day. And it was a very violent game. They put their as soon as the pleasantries were over, before and after the game, or before the game, I should say, these teams went hard at each other, CM and Zavarian. 15 total penalties called. It was a slugfest from the get-go, but CM emerging with the win at the end, 3-1, I believe, was the final score. If you're just looking at this CM team, they're physical. They know how to score as well, which is a deadly combo. They opened their year with an excluded game against Madding Young where they won 15-0. This game, an endowment game against St. Sebastian's, which is a prep school, a different league compared to the MIAA, but they lost 6-2 in that one. But ever since, it's really just been kind of a roll for them. They beat Xavier, Connecticut in a Christmas tournament. And they beat Needham 5-1. And they beat Central Catholic 4-0 as well. So pretty decent schedule for CM, and I expect their success to continue.
Yeah, just to touch upon Zavarian there briefly, you saw both of those teams playing. What'd you think of Zavarian?
So I thought Zavarian was able to keep up skating-wise with Catholic Memorial. Just fast-paced, up and down the ice, a lot of heavy hitting. That's the only game I have had the opportunity to see Zavarian in. They're 4-2 on the year, so pretty good to this point for them. Do I expect them to be in the Super 8? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe a borderline bubble team, if you're looking at it that way. They have a chance to really fight their way back up the slate, however, because they got some big Catholic Conference opponents coming to them. They got Malden Catholic coming up, BC High, of course. Then they're playing Belmont in Woburn. Then they've got other out-of-conference schools like Duxbury as well on their schedule. A lot of chances for them. It's just going to be if they can take advantage of their chances on the ice and put home a couple goals, which will make the difference in their whole season if you're looking at some of these games coming up.
Yeah, and again, Zavarian is led by some of the same names that you've heard over and over again. You got Josh Barton, who's got 12 points, Matty Ryan with 10 already, and Ryan Pompaselli with 10. And it feels like these guys have been around forever, but Ryan and Pompaselli are both only juniors, which is remarkable.
It really is. Pompaselli scored the only goal the other night for Zavarian against CM, and it was a pretty nice backhander. Everyone was piled up in front of the goalkeeper, and he was able to corral the loose puck rolling around in front of everyone and just, you know, quick little backhand right top shelf into the net, and He did an incredible celebration afterward. It was nuts. The crowd went wild because they were at Canton, right down the street from Zverian. But looking at his stat line, he's got 6 goals on the year, 10 overall points. And Matty Ryan, as you just mentioned, also 10 points, but he likes to dish out assists. He's got 7 to this point. So they've got some depth. I think they definitely have a bright future with some of these stars coming back. A lot of juniors and a lot of sophomores to note here. Not many seniors besides Josh Barton, Matt Tallarico, Michael Pitocelli, I should say. That's about it, though. You don't see many other guys sticking out. Maybe Doug Concannon, but that's it. That's all you got for their senior class. And the rest is all juniors and sophomores. I think Zverian, maybe this isn't their year. They should be in the running for the D1 field or as a bubble team for the Super 8. But next year, I think, is the year for Zverian.
And to wrap up here, I asked this of a lot of people, but, and you know, Jake and I have had this conversation over many, many podcasts, totally unrelated to hockey. Your favorite rink, snack bar, and menu item, go.
Oh, you know what? And see, like, I'm not the type of guy that usually goes to the snack bar much. I do hear that Warrior has an incredible concession option slate there. The ones I usually go to, however, like Habamok, I don't usually go over to their concessions. It's an ice box. Most of the time, I'm just running in and out of the rink trying to get the signals for my tweets. As you know, Habamok has no signal
None.
At all.
None whatsoever. None.
Rockland, that's another one I've been to a few times, but I usually don't get anything there much. I have heard great things about Warrior, though.
Okay. All right, and we'll leave it at that. Brennan Connolly of WATD, WMEX, and the Boston Herald, we thank you. For those listening, you should follow him on Twitter at BCon63. Brennan, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks again for having me, Brandon.